Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. Third hour of the show. Efforting Nate Washington, former Titans and Steelers wide receiver. Hopefully we'll be able to connect with Nate here shortly. Joe, in the meantime, let's revisit our poll question of the day, which has gotten a lot of interesting responses on Twitter. Which sports video game did you or do you connect with the most? Now, we opened the show about talking about the news of the day yesterday in the college football world. EA Sports announcing that their college football video games will be coming back at some point. Not going to be this year. Maybe it's in 2022, maybe 2023. And that, of course, had people very excited on social media yesterday. So the options in this poll question are the NCAA football game, Madden, NBA 2K, or others that could be listed below. And we've got a lot of suggestions that have listed. So far, 69% going with NCAA football, only 15% with Madden, 2% with NBA 2K, and then we've got a range of options other. I mean, Willie Donick pointed out NHL 94.
Which I said earlier.
That's a good one.
Good job, Willie.
And your response of, you know, the combo of Jager and Lemieux on that game, pretty hard to deal with.
It's pretty solid.
Tecmo Bowl, you threw it out there earlier. Got some NBA Jam in the responses as well. Tony Hawk, Pro Skater on Nintendo 64. Our listeners have taken this a variety of different directions.
Yeah, that's good. A nice participation on other. A lot of good other out there on this one. But college, I wonder if how much, because a lot, you know, obviously these polls sometimes have something to do with news that happens. Is it excitement over this announcement?
I think there's a lot of that.
Increased, but that's a big gap between the college and Madden. Kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, me too. Well, look, I've always felt that way. I like the NCAA football game better than Madden, but I've always just kind of operated under the assumption that most people don't feel that way. Like, they'd rather play Madden than NCAA football. But I got to tell you, I am encouraged by the results of the people so far. And we'll see what happens in terms of name, image, and likeness. If you're the NCAA, how does that affect the way this game is viewed from EA Sports? Do you have players' actual names on them? Do you have their name, image, and likeness? Or are you having generic players that you're trotting out there with no resemblance whatsoever to the actual players on the field? It's going to be interesting to see how this part of it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, if it goes now, it's not going to be like before when they were – because, of course, this all came about because Ed O'Bannon, you know, sued on this. Ed O'Bannon, of course, great player at UCLA, and obviously these games for years would basically have the college player's likeness and traits – but no name and, of course, no money for them. So I think if this comes out before there's any resolution on name, image, likeness, then you're going to have generic, you know, just QB Vols, you know, generic skill set and whatever. I guess it could be worse.
Yeah.
You know?
would the QB Vols skill set be better than what they tossed out there the last few years?
Careful.
Yeah, I know.
That text line gets a little bit profane now.
They'll yell at you, not me.
Can't criticize Jared Guarantee. Yeah, it's true. You can say whatever you want.
I'll say whatever I want and just direct all anger towards you. That's what I do here on the program.
By the way, this brings up something. Okay, I want you guys to interpret this because I think this goes back to the fight that Jared and I had. But someone had a great question last night. And now, of course, I'm going to miss it. But
is this basically with the Stafford conversation?
Or maybe, was it? Here we go. So this is Ricky Otazu on Twitter. So this is related to the poll question about the Preds. It's the poll question, you know, what's the biggest problem? And he responds with, can I vote for a member of the morning show who sucks?
Wow.
And I was like, I wonder who he's talking about. In fact, I meant to respond to him. I'm going to say, I hope it's me.
All the anger directed towards Joe. Why are you so volatile? Why are you cause so much anger in people?
I don't know. I'm just a nice guy.
You didn't seem very confident in that. I'm just a nice guy.
I don't know. Well, it's like my family, all they do is make fun of me. And then when I bring it up on the air, now my wife, Katie thinks that I'm like making her seem mean. I'm like, but you guys make fun of me all the time. I'm just trying to be real here.
Yeah.
It's okay. Does that mean I don't deserve to be made fun of?
Hey.
I don't think it means that at all.
No.
I think I absolutely
Two things can be true. We say that a lot here on the show.
Two things
can be true at the same time.
Right. You can be a wonderful person and still make fun of someone because they deserve it.
It's interesting.
What were we going to talk about?
Well, I don't know. You derailed me totally there. I don't know what we were talking about. I thought you were going back to the poll question from yesterday. We did have a question on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com from Mark in Clarksville. Jared had a rant about you yesterday and said that Tannehill is worth 3 first-round picks that Mark laughed at. How do you guys feel about that? If Ryan Tannehill is on the block, like we just saw Jared Goff get traded, is Tannehill worth 3 first-round picks?
So wait,
we're not saying that Tannehill's actually on the block. We're just saying,
no, right? Like, I'm trying to make sure I have it right. So Jared had a rant about me.
Yeah, I'm sure the conversation that y'all had on Twitter about Dalton and Stafford.
Ryan, did you hear this?
I did not hear that segment.
Yeah, of course. How convenient. Now I got to go back and listen to it so I can get after Jared on Twitter. So I'm assuming though his point is because obviously like he thinks Stafford's bad and is Andy Dalton or whatever. So
he's Lots of love for Andy Dalton.
Yeah,
the last
amazing.
Days.
Andy Dalton and Dan Fouts.
Yeah,
can
buddy.
You imagine that combination as your quarterback? So I'm assuming then he's saying, well, if Stafford's worth this, then Tannehill's worth 3. Is that what he's saying then, I'm assuming? So what? That's an interesting point. What if Tannehill right now was – I think Tannehill is still perceived – I think most of the league would still perceive it, and I would agree just on pure arm talent, that Stafford is better than Tannehill. Now, I think I do. Stafford is there's a variety of opinions on him. There's some people who say, oh, what has he ever won? But, I mean, I think in terms of arm talent, purely just talent, I would say that Matthew Stafford is superior to Ryan Tannehill. I wouldn't necessarily say he's a better quarterback. Because Tannehill has come in here, and what he's done in a season and a half is better than any stretch Stafford's had in his career. So, Stafford's had a 5,000-yard season. I mean, he's had huge numbers. He's also had to have huge numbers.
Right.
But that's a really interesting question. What would Tannehill fetch right now if he were out there?
I don't think he'd get 3 first-round picks.
I don't either at all. But just think about what Tannehill was perceived as being worth 2 years ago.
I mean, what did the Titans give up to get him? A 4th rounder?
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible to look back on.
Right. And it's funny because he ties into this conversation with Goff too.
Yeah.
It's a perfect conversation and that's what people said when Goff was moved and everybody's like, yeah, get Goff out of there, he's been bad. Well, are we sure Goff doesn't have some good years left in him? Are we sure he has no value as a quarterback? I don't know that he's ever going to do what Tannehill has done here. But
he's not going to do it in Detroit. I'm perfectly confident in saying that.
I mean, he'll probably
Dan Campbell is the answer, though.
He'll have to throw a lot. I'm going to guess that. So we'll see how he does down 3 touchdowns in the 4th quarter of a lot of games.
Well, 3 first-round picks. I mean, more would be involved in this package. But, like, 3 first-round picks is what people are talking about with Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And you'd also get some players back
as well.
But 3 first-round picks is a lot. That's a heavy price.
So that is Jared's contention that he would get. Or is he just like, saying, I have to listen to the segment now.
He says he's worth it.
Yeah, he's worth it, yeah. He wouldn't get that. And there's still a lot of people around this league that are like, well, okay, he fits there. It works out for him there.
I think that's the predominant theme around the league is he fits into this offense. Not that he's a really, really good quarterback.
But surely there are people in this league, coaches, personnel people who have watched him enough to say, oh, actually, wow, that was a really tight window throw on a 3rd and 11 dropping back and that was really good. I mean, right?
You would think so.
I can't wait to actually, like Mike Sando does the QB tiers.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see if there's any movement in that.
Well, Tannehill was third tier last year, right?
Which is stupid. And again, these are GMs. They have no reason to lie. I mean, they're not being named. I mean, that's why these things are good. They're effective because it's like, okay, what do you really think?
I think it's he gets stupid. Up to second tier. He's not going to first.
I would sure as hell hope so.
What if he doesn't? What if he stays in third tier?
Well, then again, I mean, look, there's going to be some GMs who probably have no reason, depending on what their teams are, to watch him much. So you're just going with – even with something like that, you're kind of just going with the prevailing opinion on it. That's what it's got to be. Because if all of those guys really were paying attention to what he's done, they would not knock him down like that. But 3 first-round picks, come on, Jared.
There's a report coming out from Pro Football Talk that Frank Reich – apparently consulted Peyton Manning about the options for the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. So Peyton pulling some overtime. He's getting consulted about Tennessee coaches, consulting about quarterbacks for the Colts. That's a busy guy in retirement.
Wow. So Peyton gets consulted. You get Josh Heupel in Knoxville, and, you know, maybe you can get, I don't know, Matt Ryan.
Dan Orlovsky.
Get Orlovsky out of retirement for the Colts. Peyton Manning was an amazing player. I don't know that he's like this all-knowing, great consultant on AD, coach, and quarterback.
How much involvement
moves
do you think he had in Josh Heupel? I don't think very much.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe zero.
Like, guys, I believe in you. Good luck. Yeah, do you think, like, Peyton was constantly, like, texting Danny White during that week? Like, Danny, come on. We got to do
this. We got to get this. Just go get your guy. Don't look too hard.
Yeah. I mean, did he even, like, was it, like, did Peyton get, like, a five-minute heads up before it broke or something?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's probably the extent of it.
When we come back, it is Super Bowl week here in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the matchup between Tampa Bay and Kansas City. What are our fondest Super Bowl memories? What Super Bowls did we enjoy the most? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. But first, speaking of the big game coming up on Sunday, you can celebrate the 55th edition of the big game with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team to get 55-1 odds when Tampa Bay takes on Kansas City. That's right. You can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game on February the 7th. I've been betting on FanDuel all season long. It's so easy to use. They get you your money in as little as 24 hours. They've got a range of betting options like player props and futures. Whatever bet you're looking for, FanDuel has it. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus of $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Hey, we know you're going to watch the big game this Sunday, so do you think you can predict some of the game outcomes? If you do, play Super Picks now at thegamenashville.com. You predict the answers for the game questions that we put together, and the person that gets the most correct will win a large Orca cooler full of prizes. Get your picks in now for Super Picks, sponsored by Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House at thegamenashville.com. The contest will close at the scheduled kickoff time. Must be 21 or over to enter the contest, so make sure you check that out on thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, Joe, it is Super Bowl week, and that always is a fun week for me, obviously for the game, but also to look back at Super Bowls of years gone by. Now, we've seen lots of really good and entertaining Super Bowls. We've also seen some duds along the way as well. I think it's interesting to look ahead at this one coming up on Sunday between Tampa Bay and Kansas City, because quite frankly, I think it could go either way. If Kansas City's at the top of their game and Tampa Bay's not able to get to Mahomes, it's going to be probably tough sledding for the Bucs at that point. But if they are, I think Tampa Bay certainly has weapons offensively that can scare you if you're Kansas City on the other side of the ball. So could go either way coming up on Sunday. Joe, as you look back at Super Bowls of years past, what are a few that stand out to you in terms of the most memorable Super Bowls that you've ever watched?
So we're going to do the thing where I expose how old I am and sure, a big difference in our ages.
Yeah.
So if you were a kid of the 80s, you have many memories of, can this game at least like be good until halftime, please? And like, you also have memories of Super Bowls that could have been. The biggest one to me is 85. I mean, the Bears are 15-1, but they got smoked by the Dolphins and Dan Marino, one of those all-time great quarterbacks who has no Super Bowl rings, on Monday Night Football. And we're going to get that rematch in the Super Bowl. So what happens? Steve freaking Grogan and the Patriots beat the Dolphins, and so it's 46-10. And the Bears probably would have thumped the Dolphins anyway, but fine. At least we get the rematch. The most exciting matchup was the year before that, when Joe Montana and Dan Marino, we talked about that last week, is one of the greatest quarterback matchups. But the game was a stinker. It was like 38-16 Niners. One of the best memories I have is when we finally got a good Super Bowl. It had been so long, and we finally got the good Super Bowl with the Niners and the Bengals, and I believe that was in, I think that was in Miami. Niners, Bengals, the famous, you know, Niners are down late. Joe Montana says, hey, John Candy, you know, check it out. And then they go down to John Taylor, you know, Jerry Rice. It was so cool to have a great game that was exciting. I mean, now we've had like a lot of them. We've had a lot of them, you know, recently, you know, really good games. But that was special. Actually, the McNair, to me, was another awesome one that was like, that was the, to me at that time, I said, that is the best Super Bowl ever, period. And I don't know if it still is, but it's got a case still. So that was a great memory, for sure. And that was, I think most of the country was rooting for the Titans, too, which is weird because it's not like the Rams had been there forever, but like you were already kind of sick of the Rams and the Kurt Warner, you know, greatest show on turf, all this stuff. I think most of the country was rooting for the Titans that day. So that one does stand out. You know, you go back to that Niners game, the very next year, you know, so great game to beat the Bengals. Unfortunately, the Niners of that era were the Patriots of the 2000s. Then the next year, it's Elway and the Broncos, and the Niners beat them like 1-3. So we were back to crappy Super Bowls.
I look back at the last few years. I think the Super Bowl I had the most fun watching was the Eagles and the Patriots.
That was great.
That was such a great game. I mean, just the offense on both sides, the different things, you know, that the Eagles were able to do with Nick Foles as their quarterback. I mean, Brady threw for 500 yards in that game, and they lost. I mean, it was such a great back-and-forth game. You know, the Patriots and Seahawks, that was okay. You know, going back to, you know, the late 2000s, I thought the Saints-Colts was a really good one. I mean, the onside kick in that game, the interception in that game by Tracy Porter bringing it all the way back. I mean, that was a great one. There have been some duds along the way, too. Like, I remember being so excited for the Seahawks and the Broncos, that defense going up against that offense. Oh. And you're like, okay, you've got this great defense going up against Peyton Manning and this historic offense that they put together. And that game sucked from start to finish. 43-8, the final score.
That was an 80s Super Bowl out of nowhere. Yeah, I was excited for that one, too. You know, actually, another one that was great, and again, I'll go back and be old guy here, but the Bills-Giants, the first of four Bills losses, was a great game. And obviously that was Scott Norwood wide right, but that was a great game. You know, that was the Giants that year were dominant, but that was with Phil Simms. So that game, you know, he was out. Jeff Hostetler was a quarterback. But Jim Kelly and the Bills were flat out the better team. And they got kind of routed. Well, they got blown out their next three Super Bowls, twice by the Cowboys, once by Washington. But that was the game. They were the better team. Man, Scott Norwood and Bills Mafia, that was the one, man. That was the one.
Imagine if that happened now, like with social media and Bills Mafia.
Yeah, Scott Norwood would need to get off that social media.
Witness protection.
Scott Norwood turned into a folding table. Yeah.
Let's go to our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris in Nashville text in. As a lifelong Steelers fan, the first championship win over the Vikings is pretty special. My older brother loved the Vikings. Dolphins versus Redskins is also up there as well. So, Chris, going all the way back to Super Bowl IX, the Steelers win the first of back-to-back titles against the Minnesota Vikings.
You know what? Thank you for being older than me. I have no recollection of that. I love it. Let's hear some more old ones. I'm trying to think. The first one that I really, really paid attention to would have been probably Niners Bengals at the Silverdome, the Pontiac Silverdome. The Niners like showed up, got to the stadium like an hour before the game. The weather was so bad that they like were in a bus for hours on icy roads trying to get to the Silverdome. Good stuff.
Speaking of the Steelers, like going back to that game against the Cardinals, like. Not many people. I mean, the Steelers Cardinals, not necessarily a
great game,
sexy matchup. That game was awesome. Was that the game where James Harrison brought it back like 95 yards?
Yes.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And then Larry Fitzgerald had the long touchdown to take the lead late, and then Santonio Holmes with the great catch in the corner of the end zone.
Fantastic game. Really one of the best. But you're right. It's like you look back and you're just like, Steelers, Cardinals?
Eh. Yeah.
But that should not take away from the quality of the game.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Craig texts in, says, the Broncos and the Packers, Elway versus Favre.
Great call. That was a great game. And another, to me, maybe it wasn't the rest of the country. I know it wasn't Robbie, but, man, people were happy. It was happy to see Elway get a Super Bowl, and also everybody was sick of Favre and the Packers. That was an awesome game and a very surprising game. I mean, that was a – on paper, that was a mismatch in favor of the Packers.
Yeah. Didn't work out.
Sorry, man. Hey, speaking of evaluations, so I tweeted at Ricky, I hope you're talking about me, you know, on like who sucks on the show. This is his response. I absolutely do. You're by far the most boring, non-entertaining person I've ever heard on the radio ever. It's funny half the time they throw to you, it sounds like they are waking you up. Have a good day and stay safe. Thanks, Ricky.
That's what the coffee's
love
for,
you
right?
Too, buddy.
That's why you get the coffee. Make sure you're awake.
Look at my coffee cup today. What's that say, Robbie?
Shh, no one cares.
That's right. It's my pink coffee mug that says, shh, no one cares, Ricky.
Just taking a casual sip. When we come back, we will dive back into the Preds. Some younger players may be finding their way into the lineup a little bit more regularly as they move forward here. Is that a good idea for the Predators at this point? We'll discuss that coming up. Matt Duchene joins us at 8:45 as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning. Pred centerman Matt Duchene will join us in about 15 minutes, so looking forward to that conversation with him. The Predators still on the road. They'll take on the Florida Panthers tomorrow, try to get back in the win column against the Panthers team. Off to a really good start this year, so some tough challenges ahead for the Predators. And speaking of the Predators, Joe, we saw Eli Tolvanen see some action on Monday night in the loss against Tampa Bay. He comes in, it's 4-0, and he gets the first goal of the game for the Predators, makes it 4-1, finds himself on the board in his first game of the season. And it's got some Predators fans asking the question, should you see more of Eli Tolvanen? Should there be an influx of younger talent maybe coming in with some more offensive upside than what is currently on the roster? And David Poile joined Darren Donick and Chase yesterday for his weekly visit and talked about Eli Tolvanen and where exactly he fits in right now with this group. Here's what Nashville Predators general manager David Poile had to say.
It's about time to give him a chance to make some changes. Obviously, we're kind of hot and cold this year. We win two, we lose two, and you have the depth. You're carrying different guys, and we're not scoring as much as we want. And it just made sense to give him a try. And he's an opportunistic type of a player. He didn't get a lot of chances, but when he gets a chance, he can put the puck in the net. So maybe he's got his confidence a little bit better by scoring last night. Maybe he can get on the power play on a little bit more regular basis to help that along. So it was good to see him score and good to see him in the lineup. Hopefully he can continue playing in the lineup.
So that was David Poile on Eli Tolvanen, finishing off by saying hopefully he can continue playing in the lineup. Joe, if you're the Predators and you're as offensively challenged as this group is right now, they're 27th in the league in goals per game. They're 29th in the league on the power play. I mean, we're not even talking about the other side defensively where they're even worse on the penalty kill. Do you maybe sacrifice some of the, I guess, quote-unquote structure that some of these, veteran guys bring you and playing away from the puck if that means that you have a little bit more offensive potential in your lineup just based on the way things have gone offensively so far?
Does it mean you win?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it translates to. But I know this, like, for instance, I watched Eli Tolvanen play the other day. I think he's still got some work to do away from the puck in terms of defensively and being in different situations. I don't think he's all there yet in terms of being NHL ready to play in all the different situations you've got to manage on the ice. But it's almost to the point where Eli Tolvanen of, all right, sometimes maybe you just let him play and live with mistakes that he's going to make. I mean, he's 21 years old. He's a kid that's got a lot of talent offensively. And he gives you a chance out there if you can find a way to get in the puck. That shot gives you a chance to score some goals. And right now, I look around the rest of that roster, it's not a whole lot of guys I feel great about giving you a chance to score on a consistent basis. So I wonder if the Predators are just in a spot where maybe you've got to live with some mistakes for some younger guys, if that means bringing them along a little bit faster and maybe getting some more goals out of it as well.
Well, right, and it's not like it's been mistake-free from the guys who aren't scoring. You know, that's the thing. If you can win 2-1 every night, well, okay, then win. You're winning. But obviously, you mentioned, you referred to the penalty kill. Are they last, by the way? Are they last?
Second to last.
Okay.
So yeah, I believe the lowly Detroit Red Wings are worse.
Yeah, you can count on them. But they've had issues in a variety. It's not just like scoring as a problem. But your structure already isn't as sound as you want it to be, then I think you have to try this a little bit. And I agree that you saw that one-timer in the first game. I mean, you got to have guys with scoring touch, you know? I mean, right now we're about to have Deshane on next. He's demonstrated certainly enough in this league to show that he has that. He just hasn't been able to find it this year. But I don't know how many guys in this lineup do. And Tolvanen, for his faults, he does. And I agree, too, on the power play, as much as that has struggled. I know it's gotten a little bit better lately, but if he's going to be in the lineup, I think he should be getting a lot of power play time.
I think he should, too. I mean, right now, I mean, they've had some better looks recently, and they've gotten a goal or two to fall here and there. You're still talking about a power play that's at 11.1% right now. It's 29th in the league. I mean, it's hard to win when you have, and this is not a new thing. The power play struggled for a couple years now. They've tried different coaches. They've tried different setups. It's not working out very well, no matter what they've tried so far. So it kind of leaves you scratching your head at times because, I mean, you look at the personnel they've trotted out there. I mean, to start this year, they had a power play unit of Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson, Josi, and Duchesne. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, all right, if you can't score with that group, what in the world's going on the power play? Maybe it is time to change things up a little bit. And Tolvanen, a guy that at every level he's played at, been a pretty big weapon on the power play. Got to use it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Not just the talent of those guys, but like they've played with each other a lot. So where's the disconnect? I mean, I will say at least it's not just we talked about Subban earlier on the show. It's not just like everything going back to a Subban blast and then everybody scrambled to the net. At least they're trying different things. I think it looks better, but production is production. And Tolvanen certainly is a guy who I think can shine in that way, even if you lose a little bit. You know, in other aspects of the game, I think he can be a weapon there. So at this point, you got to find some of that. You know, at some point, if things go the wrong way, maybe there's more of a youth movement here. But Tolvanen is a guy who should be ready for this and should do everything possible to embrace this opportunity, because I think this could be the okay, Ellie. I know he's young, but still. Let's see it. Let's see it in an extended period of time, what you can do in this league.
Well, and I also wonder, like, if the same conversation eventually applies with Philip Tomasino as well. I mean, he came in after the World Juniors, is on the taxi squad, spent some time with the Predators, has since been sent down to the American Hockey League, which, with the OHL not playing right now, that's an opportunity the Predators have with him that we didn't think they were going to have, for the ability to send him down and see what he looks like there. So I think it's a good move by the Predators to see what he can do at that level. But obviously, I mean, you feel good about long-term his potential offensively. I just wonder, you know, we knew this could be an issue heading into the season with the restructuring of the roster the way it was. And look, let's be honest, it's not like with the quote-unquote skill guys they had last year that they were some offensive juggernaut. I mean, that's been a disappointing part of this team, from Turris to – you know, other guys' production falling off last year. We've talked about Johansson and Duchesne. Granlund, you know, for the majority of last year, was not productive either. He's come back in and looks really good. I just wonder, with the offense struggling as much as it has, and look, it's not it. I mean, we've talked about the penalty kill. I don't think the goaltending has been great either. But with the offense being a big issue with this team, even though you're trying to be, quote-unquote, harder to play against, and I understand that approach, you still have to have the ability to put the puck in the net. And I wonder how the Predators balance that moving forward. Now, the easy answer is this. You need Duchesne and Johansson to put the puck in the back of the net. Because regardless of what you do, if those two aren't producing, I mean, you're just not going to win. I mean, and David Poyle has said as much. So a lot of this conversation is on them and on those top four guys like it always is. But you need help outside of that as well. And right now, I just don't think they've got enough.
Yeah. Well, I think Duchesne and, you know, and Johansson, their struggles, again, very different types of struggles, are kind of skewing the numbers a little bit. Interesting thing here that I noticed yesterday from Alex Doherty, A to Z Sports. I don't know if you saw this, but he had the output, goal output for their top forwards, Laviolette versus Hines. Now, again, small sample size under Hines, large under Laviolette, but Forsberg from 1.06 to 0.69. Arvidsson 1.49 to 0.73. Johansson 0.68 to 0.49. Deschain's the same, 0.56. Granlund is the one guy who's basically doubled his goal output under Hines, which is interesting. Last year there was so much before they fired Laviolette about it's the system. I mean, people are sending out these blue blobs that proves that Peter Laviolette has no idea what a hockey puck is. Yeah. Like he should be coaching volleyball. It's amazing how he keeps getting jobs because apparently he doesn't know anything about hockey. But now we're moved on to maybe Hines is maybe his system doesn't benefit these guys. You know, it's supposed to benefit the forwards as we've talked about. But again, you also like those guys have to finish.
Yeah, that's a lot of this. I mean, you can point out, and look, hockey's probably more guilty of this than any other sport. There's absolutely a place for analytics and diving into all that. Sometimes you get so wrapped up in that that you just forget. A lot of times it's just about bearing down and finishing. Like, you're creating chances, and that's great. You got to finish. I mean, that's what the name of the game is. I mean, Duchesne's creating a lot of chances. Johansson's creating a lot of chances. The difference between them and some of the other top guys in the league right now, they're finishing, and the people in Nashville right now aren't. I mean, that's what it boils down to. So you can talk about expected goals and zone time and all this other stuff. You got to bear down and finish. And that's why maybe you do take a look at keeping Tolvanen in and just seeing what it could hurt. Like, I understand that there's going to be other parts of his game that hurt you at times, but sometimes you've got to live with that with younger players, allow them to make some mistakes, and then hopefully they grow that way and learn quicker and on the fly and help your team along the way as well. So I thought those comments from Poyle were interesting, and I think it's going to be fascinating to see how the Preds handle Tolvanen specifically as they move forward when they start to get some guys healthier and back available to them, because I think it may be smart to just leave him in there and see what he can do. So we'll see what happens with the Predators on that front. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, it is that time of the week. Our weekly visit with Pred centerman Matt Duchesne coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And bring in Pred center Matt Duchesne, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople. Matt, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Hey, good. You?
We are doing very well. And Matt, obviously, tough set in Tampa Bay. Things didn't go the way you guys wanted them to go. But what are you seeing right now from your group as a whole overall lately in the last few games?
Yeah, well, I think the game, negatively, I think, you know, the first two periods in the first game against Tampa weren't great. The first one was all right. The second period was probably our worst period of the year. And just the penalties were way too many penalties, probably in both games. And you just put yourself behind the eight ball. I know that, you know, our PK guys that are out there all the time are getting gassed, and guys that aren't penalty killing are, you know, sitting on the bench getting cold. So, you know, that part of it, you know, we need to clean up a little bit, and it's not a huge change to just be a little more disciplined. What I did like was in the third period, we picked ourselves up and started, you know, playing the way we were capable of. And I felt like even the other game, even though we got down 4-0, the shots were in our favor. The chances were in our favor. It was just one of those nights, everything they touched went in and nothing that we touched went in. So, you know, I like, again, we came back hard in the third there. We finally, you know, got a couple goals and gave ourselves a chance to tie that game up. But, you know, the moral victories aren't, you know, what you're looking for. You're looking for, you know, true ones and real ones. So we got a good chance here the next couple games, and hopefully can come back home above 500.
On those penalties, Matt, you know, John Hines had some words, you know, after the last game about, you know, like you say it, but you got to, at some point, you know, you can't say it anymore. I'm like, it's got to be fixed. I know before you got here, this club and a lot of these same guys, they had a season in particular where they just really struggled to stay out of the box. How much of a challenge is it to not take those penalties, and does it get – you know, does it snowball sometimes when you're taking these penalties? And like you said, then you get in the box. Now your momentum is stymied. I mean, is it hard to stop that and turn it around?
I find they come in bunches. It's funny. Like, you know, you look at some of the calls, and yeah, some of them are blatant penalties, and some of them are like are very bizarre and maybe are, you know, total accidents or, you know, maybe shouldn't have been called or whatever. So it's, you got to kind of comb through them and see which ones are avoidable and which ones aren't. And, you know, basically at that point, you just got to clean it up. I mean, it's like anything, right? It's like any part of your game that's not, you know, not on par. You got to find out ways to fix it. And, you know, I think we've got a couple of days here, like we had yesterday, and then we got today of just a practice and stuff. And, you know, it's so early in the season. I mean, and I think our record is as bad as it could possibly be for how we've played. I think we could easily have, you know, two or three more wins with how we've played. And sometimes you go through this stuff. So, you know, we're going through that adversity right at the start of the season right now. And, you know, I'd rather be going through it, you know, nine games in than with nine games left. So we'll learn from it. We'll get better. We have a great group. We have a great team. And, you know, we'll just obviously, you know, a lot of us are still snake bitten, still looking for to, you know, kind of, you know, break the barrier and get it going production wise. But I think the performances are there, and, you know, we just got to keep moving.
Press Center Matt Duchesne on the line with us, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople. And Matt, you brought it up there. It really has been kind of amazing to watch. You've gotten chance after chance, and you're playing so well on a nightly basis, and it just hasn't been able to drop for you yet. How have you kind of stayed with it mentally and been able to battle against what I'm sure has got to be, you know, frustrating in that regard, that you've had so many chances and it just hasn't fallen for you yet?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think at the end of the day, it's my 12th year in the league, and I think I've had red-hot starts and I've had ice-cold starts. I think I was thinking about it the other day, three of my best years in the league, I remember one year I had one goal after 11 games, and ended up, you know, at 30 that year. I had the other year, a couple of years ago, I had over 30. I didn't score till game 8, and I think I had one goal after 10 games or something like that. And another year I had 27. I had three goals in the first 17 games or 19 games or something like that. So, it's like, it's funny because it makes you think and it makes you obviously, you know, reflect. And for me, I think, and, you know, yeah, it gets frustrating at times. I mean, there's times you want to come back to the bench and break your stick into 100 pieces, but, I mean, I'm doing a lot of the right things. I'm getting stopped, you know, my goalies are making great saves. I'm hitting goalposts, that stuff, but the chances are there. And, you know, if the chances are there, you're doing something right, and eventually it goes, and then it just comes. I mean, my teammates have been awesome supporting me, and I think I've handled it well, just, you know, kind of sloughing it off and not letting it affect my overall game. I think that's something that, you know, I think I'm the most proud of, I guess, is in the past I would have let it, you know, affect my game, and I don't feel like I have. And, you know, I'll keep pushing, and once it goes, hopefully, you know, it comes in bunches. So that's usually how it works in hockey, and you just got to stay with it. I think for me, it's like I said, it's a mentality of, of just doing, you know, I'm just focusing on the process rather than the results. And I think in my career where I've made mistakes is I focused on the results before the process at times. And, you know, when you're playing well and it doesn't go for you, you eventually stop playing well because you're so focused on being snake bitten. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it, and I'll just continue to work away at it.
Well, Matt, you mentioned breaking the stick there. After one, and I don't remember exactly the opportunity, but you know, you were close. You were on the doorstep. The camera got you. I thought you were actually going to break the stick at that moment. And I'm not a great lip reader, but you know, I mean, it's clear you've been pretty upset, which is understandable. Is it, as you said, you don't want it to affect your game? Do you? Is it, you know, release the anger in the moment and get rid of it, or do you try to hold on to it a little bit and let it drive you?
Well, both. I think at that point there, that chance was crazy because the puck, I had the goalie beat and the puck rolled up on my stick and I basically launched it over the net. You know, it was flat on my blade rather than being flat on the ice. And I didn't, you know, when that happens quickly, you can't adjust to it. And you almost throw the puck rather than shoot it whenever that happens. So I was kind of frustrated. The goalie even was like, oh my God, you had me beat. He told me that like mid play. So, I was frustrated, but sometimes coming back and snapping like that, it motivates you even more. You know, there's times you laugh it off and, you know, you just kind of chalk it up to, you know, kind of being ridiculous. And then, you know, for me, the last game, it was just, I was frustrated with a lot of things, especially the score and kind of how things were going for our team. And it was more of a team anger, to be honest, than about myself. And I, you know, at the end of the day, I just want to help the guys win and do whatever I can. And that would have been a, you know, obviously we gave up, you know, four pretty early in the game and we're trying to climb back. So that would have been a decent moment, but the guys end up getting going and our line end up getting a goal later on. So, you know, sometimes the anger drives you and sometimes a distraction. I think you just got to figure out what, you know, the best way to act, and that'll propel you forward.
Matt, I know Elli Tolvanen, you haven't spent a ton of time around him so far in your time in Nashville, but from the time you've seen Tolvanen, what stands out about him to you? Comes in the other night, obviously a really young kid, an impressive goal. What do you see when you watch Elli Tolvanen play?
Well, he's got a lot of talent. He's a great shooter. His shot is lethal. I heard that about him, and you know, I saw it firsthand. And I think, you know, he did some good things the other night for his first game this year, and a really fast game. It's a men's game out there against Tampa in terms of just, you know, you got to earn everything you get, and it's fast, and you know, it's a fun game to play, but I can imagine it could be overwhelming coming in. You know, basically out of the stands right into the lineup. And I thought he did a good job, obviously scoring that goal. And so we'll see. I don't know what, I think hopefully we'll be getting some guys back injury wise here in the next bit. And obviously we had three guys out with, you know, Cunnan, Richardson and Yarncroke, but there's gonna be opportunities for other guys to step up. And, you know, a guy like him has the ability to do it. So hopefully, you know, he can build on last game.
Pred Center Matt Duchesne has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople. Matt, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck tomorrow against Florida.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, sounds great, Matt. And it is interesting. Like, we've talked about it. The chances are there. You're doing all the right things. And it just hasn't fallen for you yet. And look, he knows it. It's got to fall at some point. That's what he's paid to do. But I think you at least feel better if you're him, that you're getting the chances, and that not that you're just totally invisible out there, because that's two different conversations in my book.
And he remembered, and I thought it was that one where he'd lifted over, but I was like, eh, there's been a few, but he remembered exactly, exactly that moment, because, you know, that's one of those things where, I mean, it's got to be frustrating to play this game, you know? I mean, especially when you get into these things, and I'm sure it's just like anything, hitting a baseball or, you know, shooting a basketball, whatever it is. You get in zones where everything, it's as big as the ocean, and then you get in these situations, you do everything right, and it just isn't happening for you. So, Preds obviously need him to get that one, and maybe that'll be the start of a stretch the other way.
Coming up next, we will revisit our poll question of the day surrounding the news yesterday that EA Sports coming back out with the NCAA football game. What does that mean for the future of college football in terms of name, image, and likeness? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexford live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.